Hey, and welcome to Asterixar, the podcast for the people, by the people.
Hey,
I'm a person. People. Yeah, we got two persons on this pod. One is me, Ethan. The other one is the man who put star in asterisk star, Kuji.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's X-A-R? Scar?
Yeah, czar.
I am a czar.
Yeah, you're the czar of this pod.
Thanks.
So we're back, baby.
Yeah.
We both survived a hurricane in one way or another.
That's true, yeah.
Yours was much worse than mine, but that's okay.
Well,
it's not a competition.
For me, I'm not saying worse in general.
Because, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I think mine had a higher death toll. This is not a good way to start this pod.
No. And also, don't take ownership of it. Mine
that's true.
Killed
me. I didn't cause it. Yeah. Well, I was bringing that up to say that I'm proud of you for surviving it. I think you were very brave.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, that took me a while to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about Brave, the movie that came out in 2012 by Pixar. And we're gonna knock it out, give you all the deets from A to Zeets.
Mm-hmm. To Z, I believe.
From A to Z.
Yeah. You know, how Scottish people say A. Ah.
Oh, yeah, man, the Scottish accents.
I thought this movie would have been, I would have appreciated it if it was in, like, ancient Celtic the entire time with subtitles. I feel like that would have been more authentic Scottish, but that's just me.
Ancient Celtic, I believe, is the word.
What?
It's not the Boston Celtics.
The Boston Celtics, man. I thought it was like, if someone's like a Celtic, then they're Celtic, but if it's the language, then it's Celtic, you know?
Oh, is that real? I always just assumed Bostonians just pronounced it wrong because they're stupid idiots.
Okay, well, that's not fair to Bostonians, but go Red Sox. But, you know, whatever you want to do. That's on you.
Now, is the ancient Scottish language, it's Celtic, it's not Gaelic? What's the difference?
Please teach
me.
To be honest, it was probably like the time that they were like medieval time, so I didn't really look it up, but I'm sure it was some weird, like, really early form of, like, some Germanic weird form of English, I guess, because they're on the same little island.
Yeah, they're all together there. I don't know. At one point, they
really weird.
At one point, they do mention Gaelic, so that's why I assume that.
Did they say that? They say we're not speaking Gaelic because.
No, well, it's the witch mentions Gaelic at one point when she has a recording message, but we'll get there. We'll get into it.
Oh yeah.
We'll start with some of those deets. Like I said, it came out in 2012. Directed originally by Brenda Chapman, Pixar's first and still only female director.
Come on,
but,
Pixar.
Yeah, which I never really thought about because I'm a man and I don't need to really think about anything like that.
Top of the patriarchy.
You're also a man, correct?
Yes, I've been described as a man before.
So, I mean, the story, Brenda Chapman's credited with creating the story. So it would have been cool if she was able to be the sole director, but she was kicked to the curb for creative disagreements and replaced by Mark Andrews.
I mean,
but
I'm sure we all hope it had nothing to do with her being a woman, but
I would hope not.
Yeah,
I can't find good details on it. I didn't look very hard, but Brenda Chapman did say that her vision still came through in the film, and she's still very proud of it. So I guess it wasn't maybe not the most devastating. Oh wait, no,
well,
she says it was devastating.
Oh well, I mean, it's a very girl power movie, so at least there's that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also Pixar's first female protagonist.
Ah.
Merida, played by Kelly McDonald. McDonald, wow.
Kelly McDonald.
Hello, Kelly McDonald.
Did you hear her name is... I kept hearing her name is Merida. Like murder, but with an accent Merida. The whole time. Like, hey, Merida, like get Schmerda. Over here. Yeah, like, I don't know. Like in Hot Fuzz, we're like, Merida, Merida, Merida. That's what I kept thinking of.
Merida, 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 kill, kill, kill.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I kind of, it was muffled a lot with the heavy accent going on. It's never just a clean Merida.
Yeah, well... Is Merida? I don't know.
Short for a meridian?
Probably.
Who's to say? Now, we do have Kelly McDonald as the lead, who is herself Scottish, so that lines up very nicely.
That's great.
But the original person pegged to be Merida was supposed to be Reese Witherspoon.
And for all you out there, not Scottish.
Yeah, we should note that she is not Scottish.
Very much not Scottish.
It says scheduling issues were the cause, but Reese herself said that maybe she couldn't get the accent good enough, so I like to believe that.
I also wondered, I don't want to get off track here, but
that's all we do.
I also wondered, I'm sure Scotland has, I mean, it's not too big of a place, but I'm sure like the accents are varied around, so I'm curious what like Scottish people thought of it, because you know like in English movies that they make in America, people are like, that guy's like a Liverpool accent, and then this other guy has like a Brighton accent, like what the hell's going on? I wonder if it's like that. It all sounded like the same to me, but
yeah, maybe. But it's like if their character was some guy from New York City but he had like a southern drawl,
yeah,
we would get it here, but like maybe someone else wouldn't really get it as much.
It makes me really sad that, like, the southern drawl is an accent that's portrayed in our country. I don't know. Maybe I should stop talking.
That would go way off track.
Yeah, too much.
Well, I, for one, really love Kelly McDonald's voice, so I was happy that she was cast because I could hear her talk all day. That's really, honestly, probably my favorite part of the movie is just the accents. Mainly hers.
I wish she like read audiobooks or something. I would totally listen to all of it.
Maybe she did. I know her from what's that show called? Boardwalk Empire.
Did she play Scott?
She was excellent in that. But she was also in Trainspotting.
She's also in Black Mirror.
Also Black Mirror. I haven't seen that episode, so I don't know.
Big fan of that show. Big fan.
Rounding out the cast, we have Billy Connolly, King Fergus, the king, Emma Thompson, Queen Eleanor, the queen, and then Julie Walters as the witch we mentioned earlier.
Who didn't have a Scottish accent.
She didn't? No, she didn't. Did she have any accent? Kind of like vaguely British, maybe?
I think she's British. She had like a weird accent. Maybe she was trying too hard.
Yeah, that can happen.
Or maybe that's like a dig on British people. I don't know.
Kind of like Mike Myers doing the Shrek accent. Comes and goes.
Yeah.
Also, I immediately thought of Shrek when I was watching this movie. He's kind of ruined Scottish accents.
Yeah, for everyone.
For everyone, people of my age. At least the male version, I guess. I still like the female version. The Kelly McDonald version.
Well, I feel like Emma Thompson also had like a very soothing Scottish accent versus like Billy Connolly's like really rugged, like the growling part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of matches the characterization too. Where he's the big, tough king guy who loves to fight.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the queen's very proper. Another Scotsman on the cast, Craig Ferguson, which neither one of us picked out, we were talking about earlier. He was Lord McIntosh. And then Robbie Coltrane, no relation to John, was Lord Dingwall.
Yeah.
Kevin McKidd, another train spotting alumnist, was the third Lord MacGuffin. And the quickest friggin' cameo I think he's ever done, John Ratzenberger, was Gordon the Guard.
Now, which guard was that?
He, right when all the lords arrive, he, like, announces them and immediately gets, I think, hit by the door.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and watch it, because...
Yeah, it's worth it.
I started watching Cheers lately, and I'm a big fan of John Ratzenberger currently, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I wasn't so tuned into his voice from doing this pod, I probably would have missed it too, but you can't get past me. So it was a success. $185 million budget, made $540 million at the box office. Pretty modest success.
Sounds good to me.
Now, yeah, let's get into the real meat and potatoes here. Coogee, what did you think of this film?
Well, I was really confused at first. I really thought they were going to, well, I guess we'll get into it, but I thought they were going to delve into, like, fighting for the princess's heart the whole time. It was going to be, like, a cool, like, medieval game sort of thing. But then it kind of took a left turn. And yeah. I didn't mind it, but I just felt so much anxiety the whole time because everyone was so goddamn stupid the whole time. That really bugged me. But how about yourself?
You know, coming into it, as we've like talked about in the other pods, I was not looking forward to it because we were in like kind of the valley of the Pixar movies, and I thought this one was going to be crap too.
Yeah,
and it starts off kind of weak because the lead character is such an annoying brat the whole time. but
yeah,
all told, you know, I think I kind of liked it. I'm gonna say it was a-okay. Didn't love it, but like maybe because my expectations were so low, but I came away with positive feelings, so that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably watch it again, like, you know, if I was in the background or something.
If it was muted in the background at a party.
Well, like,
stop and look a couple times,
like, just to hear like the voices, like the accents, that'd be fun. But like, I wouldn't want to get into it again. It was very taxing on me emotionally.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because it was, yeah, there were some emotional parts, but I think what I liked about it a lot is the pace. It's so quick. It's a brisk 94 minutes.
It does go by. It flies by.
And you're talking about how you kind of wish there was more of, I guess, a love plot line to it, or more deep into the marriage plot line that we'll get into, but I don't know. I think it probably would have stood to have a little bit of a baking in of some of the scenes, but I think it's tough to sacrifice good pacing for that. And I'll kind of, for a movie like this, I'll kind of take quick pacing over, you know, taking the time to try and get a lot more emotion out of it. Especially for a freaking cartoon. But overall, not bad.
Yeah. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah. And well, yeah, let's get into it. And then we can kind of touch on some of the more, the details of what I liked and maybe what you didn't like about it as we go through the pot here.
All right.
So like I said, we're introduced here to this Scottish Highlands. And we've got the baby Merida, who's the princess of this whatever clan. I guess Scots are in clans, right?
Yeah, she's one of the clansmen, I guess you could say. I thought about that during the movie. I'm like, ugh, there's got to be a better word for that.
Yeah, I guess that's really the word.
They really ruined it for everybody. Thanks, guys.
So yeah, we're introduced to her as a wee lass with her her pop, the king, and her mom, you know, right off the bat, they're really pushing the narrative that she is a tough girl. She's a tomboy, not wanting to get into all the finer, fancy things of being a princess. She just wants to shoot an arrow.
Yeah.
So her dad gives her a bow. I guess it's her birthday. That's right. Her dad gives her a bow for her birthday. She immediately launches the hell out of that arrow, like 600 yards, even though she's like a three-year-old baby.
Yeah. It's. She just has a gift. She's like Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah, she was born with it. So the dad and the mom let the small child wander into the forest alone to retrieve this arrow. And this is when we first get introduced to the wisps, the willow wisps in the forest. And
is that like a Scottish thing? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, one thing this movie definitely showed me is my lack of true knowledge of Scottish culture. Everyone, you know, everyone kind of thinks they know about, you know, bagpipes and kilts, but yeah, I don't know. Willow wisp is that, I guess that's a thing.
I mean, having worn a kilt in high school for marching band, I felt like I should know more. Oh, geez. But and tartans and whatnot. But I don't know. It was they introduced magic like immediately, which was nice, I guess. And it has that like medieval setting, so kind of like, who knows what magic is? Could be real, probably is. We have no science yet.
Yeah, that's true. It does kind of set the world right there. That there, this is a world where like slight magic exists. And they, I mean, yeah, I guess they get pretty deep into the magic. But I also kind of appreciate that they didn't spend too much time explaining what the will-o'-the-wisps were. They're just kind of like, yeah, they lead you to your fate or whatever. So they like, okay. Like, yeah. What is it? I don't know. Is it, like, is it controlled by someone? I don't know. It's just, it's there. Just accept it.
I guess you kind of find out later it's, like, the spirits of people, but, like, they don't really explain it.
Oh, is that, yeah, I didn't get that at all, so there you go.
Well, like at the end,
whoa, no spoilers, man. Come on.
Okay, well, fine, we'll explain at the end then. Well, I'm just kidding. They're chilling and shit, and then they find a bear.
Freaking bear. they don't find a bear. The bear just like fucking ninja sneaks up on them, and then all of a sudden there's a bear right next to him. This giant ass bear.
It's like, yo. Hey, boo-boo! And then he comes up and he's all ready.
But yeah, he's sneakier than the average bear.
Did you find anything strange about that bear?
I mean, he was a strange bear. He had, like white eyes and kind of bald. Oh, yes.
Why? Did you find it strange that there were bears?
Well, that was a question I had, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Good. Did you look it up?
I didn't. I should have. Did you look it up?
I looked it up. Bears would have been extinct in Scotland by the medieval times, so this is impossible.
Man, big plot hole.
Because the entire movie has a bear theme throughout, like a very heavy-handed bear theme.
Yeah, which I appreciate. I love bears.
I love bears too, man. You're not going to find me to say no to a bear.
Well, I guess to contradict that point, as we'll find out, none of these bears are really bears. They're all people who were transformed into bears.
But that bear was a bear, right?
No, that was the bear from the end. That was Mordu.
Was it the same bear that they killed the bear?
No, they didn't kill that bear. That bear, they attack him and it just cuts away, and then they find out later that the bear ate the dad's leg.
Yeah.
And got away, and now...
Oh. I totally missed that part.
To contradict the contradiction I just had, when we get to their castle, there are a lot of stuffed bears throughout his castle, so...
Yeah. Which means he's murdered a lot of people or bears.
Maybe he's the reason they're extinct.
He probably is. Everything in their castle is bear-themed. They have bear medallions.
Oh, yeah, they're like the bear clan.
Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Big plot hole, guys. Come on. Yeah, tighten up.
Just all you have to do is Google fauna of Scotland and then you'll be able to find this really easy.
Well, we'll let it slide for the sake of having a lot of awesome bear action throughout.
Flash forward.
Yep.
Dad's legless. Has three little lads. I guess they're triplets. They look the same.
Yeah, I think they're triplets. Haggis. What are their names? Fuck.
I didn't catch their names.
Yeah. They all start with H. That's all I remember. Henry, Harold, and Hagathor.
Haperstein.
I don't think it's even in the Wikipedia. They're so minor.
No, because they never just call them the boys the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is what me and my brothers would call these children. The boys.
Yeah, there you go. You're one of three boys.
Yeah, but we weren't weird identical twins.
Yeah, those weirdos.
Yeah, gross. I want to say the first scene made me really hungry because he has like a plate of like sausages and meat and like all this delicious stuff.
Yeah, a lot of cakes too throughout the movie. Little sweet treats that looked very delicious.
I didn't know Scots were known for their pastries, but
they have a haggis shout out too in this scene. Even the little kids don't want to eat it.
I knew it was coming.
they hit all the notes. There's the haggis joke. There's the fact that they don't wear underwear under their kilt joke.
Yeah,
it's like I guess you got to hit those.
Yeah, Pixar animated asses for this movie.
Yeah,
like a lot of asses.
That's a good point. Definitely the most asses we've ever had in a Pixar movie. That possibly the only ass. I'm not really thinking of any other.
I mean, human asses. I'm sure if it got up to Disney, they'd be like, yeah, just we're not keeping the asses in there, you weirdos.
Yeah, this freaks at Pixar.
Yeah, if, like Buzz Lightyear had his ass open, I don't think they would let it through. So the mom's like looking through her mail because you know, ancient times mail and stuff.
I'm sure they had mail.
Yeah, but she had like a lot of mail. She was like doing taxes. She had like a little calculator, like revisor.
Yeah, it's very on point.
Yeah, she was.
She kept that shit together. She was a strong queen.
Did they ever reference the guy as the king? Like, I feel like they always just called him Fergus. They never called him King Fergus, which made me think there was just a queen and not like he was just a guy.
He was just the biggest, squarest dude. So they let him hang out in the castle. No, they call him king. They definitely call him king. Right. I don't really get the politics, though, because he's a king, but all the other guys are lords. But then, like, they kind of have to, like, appease those lords. But if he was king, wouldn't he just be like, fuck you, I'm the king?
Yeah, it seemed like they're all equal.
Yeah, exactly.
Except there are no women in the other like, dynasties or whatever for some reason.
Yeah, there's no ladies. No Lady Dingwall.
No. No Lady Dingwall or MacGuffin. McIntosh.
Wait, was his name MacGuffin? Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
I thought that was a clever little... Just stick that in there real quick. That was a weird way to say that. I'm sorry.
Right into that kilt.
Yep.
So, yes, the queen with her king, she's going through the mail, and this is when they reveal to Merida, who is now a teenager, the reason why they've been grooming her to be like a proper lady is because they're going to marry her off to one of these other lords for some reason, and to appease, I guess, everybody so there's no wars.
Because tradition.
Exactly. Tradition. That's a big theme of this movie. Tradition and why it's whack.
Yeah.
Why we should tear it down at every corner.
Screw gender roles, man.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
So, yeah, screw all the roles. That's what Merida thinks. So she's like, forget that. I'm not getting married. I'm just going to go be your archer, dude. So she goes and runs off and rides her horse through the forest shooting arrows at stuff. And made me think, I kind of want to ride a horse and shoot arrows off of it. That looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah, man. I mean,
reminds me of Zelda.
Can you ride Clydesdales? Like, that horse was like 2 tons. Like, that was an enormous horse.
That's a good question. That horse was friggin' massive.
Yeah. At first, I was like, there's no way a Clydesdale that's big. And I looked up Clydesdales and I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're so big.
Yeah, they're monsters.
Yeah.
Are they Scottish?
They are Scottish. I confirmed that. I was looking up all the dogs were also Scottish dogs that they had. That they took a little care of. Okay. Just let them do whatever.
Yeah, you got the animal facts down. I'm glad, because I had the thought, but I never actually looked it up.
And, like, the birds, I guess, are legit, too. They had, like, falconry birds briefly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, give it up to Pixar. They always do most of their research.
Yep, except for the main plot point. So they have trouble coping with telling Merida about, you know, all that stuff. Let's just get married because she doesn't want to. She wants to be free to be like a tomboy. And then the people show up, the three different lords with their sons. Lords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dingwall, MacIntosh, and MacGuffin.
And they're all goofs, as you can imagine. They're all just non-appealing whatsoever for each their own reasons.
Yeah, they're all vastly differently shaped, too. There's like the big round guy, the super skinny guy, and then like the kind of short, very strange looking Dingwall guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very kind of trollish.
And during the scene, they also get in a bunch of fights. But it, like, I don't know. It really, like, makes all Scots seem like clumsy idiots, like buffoons.
Yeah,
just, like, clunking around, like, duh, I'm gonna hit you. And then, like, they all get in these big fights over nothing.
Yeah, they were like, they were ready to go. They were like swinging swords, and at one point the little baby boys like drop a mace on a dude's head and definitely kill him.
They committed murder, yeah.
Very blatantly, right? In the throne room.
And they have like battle weapons. They cut a guy's mustache with like a battle axe. And I'm like, what are these kids doing?
Yeah, those kids are wild. I think that was probably to kind of further the idea of this movie being about, you know, the power of women and how they actually are holding everything together. Because every man in this movie is a freaking idiot.
I also wrote this down. I wonder how many princesses were like this in history. Like, because I feel like this narrative is like either a prince or a princess, and they're supposed to get married off and they don't want to. Like, how many times has this happened in reality? Because it must have happened, because there's so many different, like, feudal, like, groupings. There must have been, like, a bunch of princes were like, no, I don't want to. And, like, I wonder how many times this actually happened. I imagine in reality they just got killed. Like, they're just like, okay, well, better then.
They would kill the firstborn? I guess if they had kids.
If she's not complying, I mean, then she's not the firstborn anymore.
Yeah, firstborn that's still alive.
Yeah. It only counts if you're alive.
Yeah, I wonder. It's a good question. I wonder because, like, throughout the beginning, Merida's being like a real bratty about the situation she's in, and the mom, the queen, is just kind of like, we're trying to give you a better life than we had. I was thinking about that. It's like, well, she's a queen, so like her life was probably pretty good, right?
Yeah, I don't. It's not like they're like immigrants. I don't know why she made it sound like that.
Yeah, I mean, she was a princess before that, so she probably had a pretty similar life. I'm imagining. They don't go into details there, but they say that the queen and the king were arranged marriage, too.
Yeah.
And that worked out. She said, the queen says that it took her a second to cozy up to the guy, but you learn to love him.
I mean, that's like all arranged marriage. Well, not all of them, but that's like the best story that can come out of arranged marriages is that.
Yeah, you just kind of get used to it.
Can, like, I'm asking for a friend. Can you, like, just, like, opt in to be arranged marriage? Like, can you just be like, yo, throw my hat in the ring? Like, is there just, like, a group you could do that in? You gotta make an app for that.
Yeah, because you mean, like, in, like, non-royal settings?
Yeah, just, like, for a normal guy who's lonely.
Yeah, who still practices that?
India.
That's like is that Indian thing? I don't know who they're looking for, but I'm sure you'd be a great candidate. I'll put your name in.
Thanks, man. I mean, well, maybe not because I'm like a doctor or something. They probably looking for like someone successful.
Well, that's true.
But I'm alive.
You're alive. That's
got all my limbs. Point.
Yeah, there you go. You live in America, greatest country in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
make America arranged again.
MAGA.
It'd just be my.
So yeah, back in this world.
Yeah.
Not the greatest country, Scotland. Sorry. We've got that title.
Yes.
Well, the one thing the Scots do have that are pretty cool is these Highland games.
Mm-hmm.
So when the suitors arrive, they have to, I guess, win a challenge of the princess's choosing to win her heart. So she, of course, chooses archery because she's gonzo about it. But yeah. Then they kind of, I guess, just have like a general Highland games going on just for funsies.
There was like freestyling, yeah.
I guess that's just how they get down.
It seemed like it, yeah.
Just all the games are really just throwing large objects.
Or they had like, I guess, crochet or whatever that was. Field hockey, I guess. I don't know.
Crochet? You mean cricket? Like well, not cricket.
Yeah.
It's not crochet. Crochet is like needlepoint.
Croquet, that's what it is. Sorry.
Oh, croquet, yeah.
There's probably someone crocheting in the back. I don't know.
Can't yeah, for maybe. Sure. Yeah, they're doing that field hockey kind of thing. The caber toss, that's cool.
Yeah. the tosses.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited for that because I'm like, oh, it's going to be like that Robin Hood cartoon, you know? Where like,
oh, yeah.
They all have like fun games and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, great cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they got down in the medieval times, just throwing stuff.
Just challenging each other, like, dumb things. Okay, man, I can throw that farther than you. I doubt it. All right, let's do it. So it's
you see that log?
Yeah. Let's launch over it.
Then they get to the archery, the main event.
I did like how her dad was like egging her on the whole time. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I will say I liked all the relationships they had. Because like Merida and her dad kind of had a close relationship because she was more of a tomboy. Her and her mom kind of had more of an antagonistic relationship because they were kind of button heads. And her and the boys too kind of had whatever relationship. They were cool with each other. I don't know, it felt much more realistic than that setting, you know, you'd usually expect. Where maybe, like, the antagonism between the daughter and the sons, maybe, too, and the mom and the daughter would be a little bit more realistic. But it was all very, like, very metered out and earned, I think. So I appreciate that. And as we'll get to, the mother-daughter relationship was really what propels the movie along.
And you'll see why.
And you'll find out why. After we get to this arrow scene, which, speaking of that Robin Hood cartoon and Robin Hood Men in Tights, another excellent movie involving archery. All the suitors go up to the targets. They all do variously well or poorly. One guy gets a bullseye, and then Merida walks up in motion. She's walking down the line. Boom, bullseye, boom, bullseye. Third one, she splits the arrow in twain.
Yeah.
Straight out of Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
And then her mom, like, freaks out, I think, disproportionately to what just happened.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, like, super excited.
Yeah, the dad's really into it. I mean, it was badass. I'd be into it, too.
Yeah.
But the mom thinks it's, like, disrespectful, I guess, to the other lords, which, I mean, she's not wrong. It'd be pretty emasculating if your potential wife just walked up and split your arrow in half.
Yeah, but, like, the rest of those dudes, like, couldn't even hold a bow and arrow.
That's true. Yeah, you'd think they'd even know what they're doing there. Maybe it's kind of a turn-on. Like, ooh, look at her. She can freaking shoot an arrow with the best of them. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Scottish people like.
I don't know.
But you're right. The mom freaks out on Merida, and this is when she really runs away. She's like, screw this noise. She goes and... Oh, the mom tries to lock her in the room, doesn't she, or something? And she splits her tapestry in half.
Oh, yeah.
That the mom's been working on, which was very mean by Merida, I think. I think that was an even more disproportional response to her mother's disproportional response.
Yeah, I mean, like, that tapestry looked like it took, like, years to make.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah. I really didn't like Merida for the first half of this movie, which I guess maybe was the point. But she leaves, rides to the forest, comes upon kind of a Stonehenge kind of dealy, some circle of rocks.
I got really excited because I was pretty sure there were going to be aliens. I was so excited. Man, that would have been a turn. Aliens. Yeah, Scottish aliens.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about aliens that don't land in America? How about that? You hear me, Hollywood? I mean, it's a free idea.
I mean, yeah.
Well, aliens that land in medieval Scotland.
I mean, they landed in Egypt. How do you think they made those pyramids, bro?
That's true. I mean, they did land in Scotland, right? That's where they put Stonehenge? Where's Stonehenge?
It's in England, but they're all over that island, so maybe there's probably one in Scotland.
They're probably the ones that brought the bears back, too.
Maybe all bears are just aliens. Who knows?
Hey, you never know.
But turns out something much more believable, magic wisps.
Magic wisps, yeah. She finds the wisps? Am I saying it right?
Wisps.
Will-o'-the-wisps. Yeah, she finds them again. They lead her to the witch's house. And the witch is really just a wood carver. Who loves to carve bears. Maybe she's the reason there's bears everywhere.
I really thought, because it's like, oh, they lead you to your fate. I thought it was like, hey, here's a bear thing. That means, like, I thought it was like a sign, like, your fate is getting murdered by a bear. That was what it was going to be.
Well, I mean, it almost was.
Yeah, it's true.
There's several points. Times. So Merida stumbles upon this witch. She soon realizes that she is a witch, and then performs the grave mistake of requesting a spell without really specifying what she actually wants, which is a classic. It was the most vague
thing, and she was like, I want my mom to be different. It's like, she didn't explain her situation or anything. She's like, I don't know, my mom's weird. Can you change it?
Yeah. It's like, you know something bad's going to happen. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
So the witch creates a little spell in the form of a cake, gives it to Merida, and she says, feed this to your mom and she'll change. And then as she's leaving, the witch is like, oh, wait, but there's a thing I forgot to say, which is obviously the side effects. Those things you say really fast in the pill commercials at the very end.
She's like, you'll be good. Don't worry. Just take it.
Oh, your mom may have an erection lasting more than 4 hours. Oops.
Consult a doctor. But then she also mentions, yeah, also some other dude, you know, before wanted the strength of 10 men, and I gave it to him too, so I'm all good.
Yeah, that's right. That's how she, like, proves she's on the level.
Also, she likes medallions. I thought it was going to come back into play somehow, but it didn't.
Yeah, yeah. In exchange for the medallion, Merida gets the spell, the cake, and all the wood carvings.
Which was were never delivered. I guess she did say a fortnight, so I don't know. But
Kuji, you did not watch through the credits, did you?
No, they get delivered at the end?
Yeah, they do.
God damn, I'm going to have to watch that now. Ends for John Ratzenberger.
Yeah, yes, we watched the whole movie. Yeah, in the post-credits, they're the little crow, which I liked. I thought the crow was pretty funny.
Yeah, two little crow.
Her weird talking crow. He shows up at the castle with all the carvings, and he talks to the guard, and the guard freaks out. Pretty good. Not really needed.
John Ratzenberger still?
No, different guard. Oh. Yeah, I guess it should have been John Ratzenberger. What the hell? That man deserves more than half a line.
Yeah. So she gives that the pie or pastry or whatever it is to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think her mom was going to die?
Did I?
Yeah.
Briefly, yeah.
Because she makes a face like,
yeah, she looks real, real rough. And Brigid Merida is such a bee. She doesn't even give a shit. Her mom's like clearly dying, and she's just like, well, what about that marriage, though?
And she's like, I don't care, I'm dying. And she's like, yeah, but like, is it cool if I call it off? She's like, oh.
Yeah, her not even knowing at all what the spell is going to do. Because she was vague as hell when she asked for it. She just assumes, I guess, she'll be fine.
Her mom should have known she poisoned her because she kept saying, like, do you feel different? Do you feel differently? She kept, like, using, like, key words where she was like, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying it like that?
Yeah, it was very obvious. Well, at one point, yeah, she's like, what'd you put in this pie? She's like, don't worry about it. What about that marriage?
Well, turns out, big surprise, her mom turns into a bear.
Damn. What a twist.
And then they have a lot of trouble figuring out that she's a bear.
Yeah, she's given a bear's body, but at this point she's still the queen inside, but she's a bear. She can't talk. And she goes through all the hilariousness of discovering that she's a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say I did appreciate the animation of the bear as the queen kind of walking upright. It's kind of like her, you know, like her hands like at her, you know, up in her chest, like kind of looking all concerned. It was very funny looking.
It was. It was good. Good bear imagery. Good bear.
And they give her a big old bear butt too.
They did.
This movie loves butts.
And what happens? Oh, then they're like, we got to get out of this castle because all Scots hate bears, I guess, because they're natural enemies.
Yeah, they're trying to exterminate all bears.
Yeah, they have like bear bloodlust. And like the dad like smells a bear almost instantly.
Yeah. He smells it almost instantly, but can't find it. It's like,
yeah, he
like walks right by it, basically.
And what I thought is just lock your mom in the room and be like, don't leave until I figure this out. Or go get your dad and be like, hey, there's a bear in this room, but look how it has a crown on and it's acting not like a bear at all. Just tell your dad your mom got transformed to a bear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, lock the door and then like call the dad over, but like, hey, look through the window, but don't, you can't come in here. I'm going to go into all the details of what happened here.
Yeah, I am a terrible daughter. Mom's a bear.
Yeah, it definitely could have been explained. And then that would have been a different movie where he's just like trying to learn how to live with the bear person.
That would have been really funny. I would have liked that.
Yeah.
But Meredith's going to find out that being a bear is not easy.
In fact, it's unbearable.
Rob Schneider is a bear.
Yeah, so we need more Rob Schneider.
So they take the two little brother, or the three little brothers, and somehow distract the dads because they're geniuses, and they also have like a weird tunnel system throughout the castle, and they distract all the Scottish angry men so that they can sneak out of the castle and try to get back to the witch's hobbit hole.
Yeah, and the three kids are like totally on board with the bear being their mom, really, without any explanation.
Because the bear like bosses them around and like, oh, it is our mom.
Yeah, somehow they're like playing in a room and then she comes in and I don't know. Yeah, I guess just the act of her looking stern at them and pointing at stuff. It's like, oh, okay, that's our mom for sure.
Yeah.
Those weird ass kids. But they somehow escape with this giant bear.
Yeah. And then they get trapped on the top of like the main like turret, I guess. And then they have to climb down on their tartans.
And oh yeah, they trap all the lords, and this is when we get the gratuitous the butt scene. Shot.
Yeah,
it's like 12 butts, man.
I've seen a lot of butts in my day, and most of them were not hairless. I would just add that.
Oh, that's fun. How many of those butts were my butt? Do you think?
I'm sure I've seen your butt at least once.
Yeah, probably.
Because you're an asshole. Yeah. No pun intended.
Hey. That's freaking bear asshole.
So, we get back to the forest where they're trying to find, like, the witch's house. Then they find Stonehenge again. And then they find the witch's house. And she's like not home.
She gone. Yeah, but she has this weird like voicemail set up.
Yeah, voicemail cauldron. But she said she's at the Wicker Man Festival, which I thought was a good touch.
Oh, I didn't catch that at all.
The Wicker Man, the original movie takes place off the coast of Scotland.
She says it's a Wicker Man Festival? Oh, okay. I was thinking that was like a Burning Man reference, but no, that makes more sense as a Wicker Man reference.
I mean, they do burn a man, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Ever seen the original Wicker Man?
No, I've never seen either Wicker Man.
It's worth it for both for different reasons.
Do a back-to-back.
Yeah, well, Nick Cage is awesome, so no matter what.
I've seen the super cut that everyone's seen.
The cold cocking scenes.
Yeah. Also a lot of bears in that.
Yeah. Hey, maybe the witch had a hand in that too.
Yeah, maybe this is a crossover. This is when they find out that they only have 2 days before the queen permanently becomes a bear. And after that, well... The timeline was kind of weird, because they find out from that witch that by the second sunrise, she's going to be a bear permanently. And at that point, they are just hanging out in the forest.
Well, the solution is like a weird like limerick about stitching the bond that you cut, mm-hmm. which is clearly like a reference to the tapestry. I feel like that was... I mean, I guess the kids' movie, so.
Well, yeah, and we'll get to that, but yeah, that's it was kind of a vague answer to a question, of course. But, like, at that point, I guess they hadn't put it together that it was the tapestry yet, but then they're just, like, kind of hanging out in the forest for a while.
Yeah, that also bothered you. They're like, yeah, you got like a, that was the first sunrise, you got 24 more hours. And they have like a whole like salmon hunting scene.
Yeah.
Which is like teaching her how to fish and stuff.
Yeah. At the time, yeah, that's very wasteful.
Like zero sense of urgency.
Yeah, it's really not until the queen bear kind of acts very bear-like that is what really snaps them together. They're just kind of dicking around. If she didn't do that, they'd be stuck.
I guess when she like got Barry, like once she started doing bear-like things, then like she went full bear.
Barry. Yeah, which I liked. I wish there was more of her just being a bear around her. That'd be funny.
And then they follow some more wisps instead of going back. Did they figure out it was the tapestry?
No.
No.
They're still just dicking around like assholes.
Yeah, then they go to follow these wisps around, and they go to like this old castle.
Mm-hmm.
And she falls through like a hole, and she notices the same logo as like the really strong man that the witch made.
Yeah, she puts it together pretty quickly.
She saw like some imagery that made her think of the tapestry. And then a bear comes out. It turns out the witch only knows how to make one potion, I guess. So everything is bear.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. She's a one-trick witch.
What if they're like, hey, I gotta get out of my taxes. All right, well, I'll take this potion. It's like, oh, you're a bear. You don't have to worry about taxes anymore.
Yeah, somehow the solution's always bear, and it works out.
It's always bear, which makes me... I think your theory is right that all the bears in Scotland are just people who went to a witch and just tried to solve their problems with bear solutions.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Also, that story was like a legend, so she also makes immortal bears.
Yeah. Right? Well, they call Mordu the devil demon bear or something. But yeah, I didn't quite get if that was supposed to be... like a long, long time ago, like medieval to these medieval people, the story of the prince.
Super medieval.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right? Regular medieval, super medieval. Because that castle, like, wasn't that far away from their castle.
But, like, was it, though? Because then they, like, apparated back into the Stonehenge. The Stonehenge, like... It's like a spawn zone. Like, every time anything goes weird, there's like, oh, wait, we're at Stonehenge again.
That's a good point, yeah. So, distance is irrelevant.
Yeah, it didn't... But then it was real. I don't know. But then they realize it's the tapestry, so they kind of go back home. But this also bugged me, because, like, instead of her just going to the castle, fixing the tapestry...
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's sneak the mom bear back in.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is the biggest bone I had to pick. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why the bear has to be there at all, because bear can't sew.
It made it seem like she was going to make her mom like bear stitch it back together.
That's what I thought too. Maybe they were, which would have been great. But yeah, it was very annoying because the bear somehow gets into the throne room, and then it very obviously within eyeshot, is that the word?
Yeah, eyeshot.
Yeah, of the king and all the people behind him, this bear just walking. This guy who smelled a bear from across the castle earlier.
Yeah, through doors.
through doors. Very large, heavy doors. Can't see the bear when it's like 40 feet in front of him.
That's moving and then going back to place like a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah, not only that, Merida's looking right at her the whole time.
And like taking like visual cues from her.
Yeah, very conspicuous, this bear.
And... But then that also bummed me because she's trying to distract them because they like all got into like a melee, and she's like, "I'm gonna break tradition because this sucks." And then her mom's right. like, "Yeah." And then all the firstborns of the lords are like, "Yeah, it sucks. This girl's gross." And then they all like love each other again. But then this whole time, she got sent out there to be a diversion. But then the mom is just sitting there like weeping, like a like bear weeping in the back.
Yeah, when she's supposed to be sneaking by.
Yeah. Which I wasn't confident she's going to be able to go up those stairs without anyone noticing.
That's right. Yeah, none of this makes sense.
But then they somehow make a diversion to a different room and they sneak up to the room. And then this is the part I wanted to mention. So I really think they could have just locked her in her mom's room and then just like it wouldn't have made a difference. Because the dad comes to check out where the wife is, and he opens the door and realizes it's all destroyed, but it's been like that for a whole day. So he never even checked.
Yes, exactly. Dude does not give a shit.
He just couldn't care less about it.
His entire family has been gone for more than a day.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention the kids got turned into bears too.
Yeah, they eat the pie, and I guess they, I don't know where they were that whole time, they were just hiding out.
Yeah, because they would have gotten, like, straight up murdered if anyone saw them.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and they don't know anything about this magic, so when they became bears, like, what's stopping them from just walking into the throne room again?
Yeah, they seem to be totally weird. Cool with it the whole time. Oh, yeah, and yeah, we're bears now.
Yeah, there's little bears. Yeah, that I had a problem with that too. The ending of this movie kind of throws it all together quickly, but it keeps that great pace though.
It does. It doesn't really slow down.
Because now they're trying to get the tapestry back together, and then in the midst of that, the bear mom goes extra bear again, and starts attacking Merida, and then Fergus gets up there, attacks Fergus. This freaking King Fergus, who presumably spent much of his adult life preparing for this moment of attacking his bear, gets his ass beat by a very fresh bear who barely knows how to bear.
Also, in practicality, it's like if bears could just come into your like castle and reach like the second floor, like, you've got to like some other problems first.
Yeah, get a new security staff.
Yeah, like if you lived in like a second floor like apartment and then you got up to your room and there was a full grown bear in there, then it's not really the bear's fault.
Yeah, you got bigger problems.
Yeah, come on guys. But then the bear runs away and then she gets locked in the room with the tapestry. And then keeps trying to get out, even though she knows the tapestry is the key.
Well, yeah, that's the other weird thing, too. She realizes that repairing the tapestry is the solution to the problem. That's what she thinks. But then the dad locks her in the room with the tapestry. And instead of just repairing it there, she realizes she thinks she has to escape with the tapestry and repair it while her mother's around. It's like very weird. Like I don't know where she came to that conclusion.
Yeah, like on she could just sewed it up and then got out there, but like my understanding was you fix the tapestry, change it back, everyone's good.
Yeah,
that was those are the rules.
Well, that's what we think at this point.
I mean, there's nothing that makes me not think that now.
Well, I was a little confused. Well, so now the bear, the mom bear, gets chased back to Stonehenge and they capture her. And then the King Fergus is about to chop her head off. And Merida pops out of nowhere and shoots an arrow. Boom, knocks the sword out of her hand. And then he gets another sword. No, I guess it just knocks the sword aside. And then he goes for another kill. she flies in and stops his sword with her sword, even though he's like 600 pounds heavier than her, give or take.
Yeah, conservatively, yeah.
Yeah. And in the midst of all this, he still, you know, gets the upper hand. He's about to kill her again. And then a double Ex Machina, the Mordu, the demon bear, shows up. And he's got to shift the focus onto that bear, because that one's a much bigger bear.
And, like, that's, like, a scary-ass demon-looking bear with, like, old-ass arrows sticking out of its back. It's like...
Yeah, he's pretty gnarly-looking.
And then she keeps saying, like, hey, that's your wife. That's our mom. And the bear's, like, not moving, not, like, hurting anybody. And
yeah,
like,
pretty nice bear.
With human eyes, too.
Yeah, very sweet eyes. She should have kept the crown. That would have been the selling point.
And then, so like, yeah. Well, for a king being like the bear king, he sucks at killing bears.
Yeah.
Like all of them do.
Yeah, they're very bad at it. Even though there's like 30 of them, they just get smacked aside. I mean, the bear has the strength of 10 men, I guess, but even 12, 13 men still can't get him.
Yeah.
Numbers don't add up.
And then Mama Bear breaks out of the... Like, they're not even fair with the bear killing. They, like, tie it up and, like... It's, like, as much as a bear fight is, like, a bullfight is. Like, they're, like... like, it's not really even-sided.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to just, like, cut her head off, which would ruin the trophy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you really do it.
Hercules with, like, the bear coat.
Yeah, I guess you gotta preserve the coat. But it's all worth it, in my mind, because you get a pretty fun bear fight at the end.
I did enjoy the bear fight.
Yeah, I wish there was more bear fight, to be honest.
And then Mama Bear smacks Mordu against a cracked henge and Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
And... or stone, and I don't know what the henge part is, and like bashes his head against it like it's like 30 times.
Yeah, she's really good at being a bear.
Yeah,
she beats the guy who's been preparing his whole life to kill bears, and this demon bear that's been a bear for, I guess, centuries. I don't know.
Yeah,
she's been a bear for 2 days. She kicks his ass.
And then he gets crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spirit of Mordu comes out, like the human form. And I thought he would have been like, thanks, man, or something.
Well, that's what was weird, too, because I guess back to your point, I guess these wisps are maybe people's souls. But in the beginning, they're talking about how there's the four princes, and one of them was like a real asshole, like an evil prince. Very obviously, because he's like a big, scary-looking dude. But then they kill him, and it like releases his spirit, and he looks like a nice guy again.
Yeah.
But like, wasn't he a bad guy? I don't know. Is there a good guy in the bad guy in the bear? It's like a turducken.
Maybe the bear made him evil. Like the power of the bear.
Maybe. Oh, so you think he just went to the witch to get the power of 10 men? And then he was corrupted by the bear. I guess that could be the case.
But then, I don't know. I wonder if he had an opportunity to like back out of it. Like, but I guess he didn't have a feud with anybody. He just wanted to be strong. But I guess we got like a rebate period, like they did.
Yeah, you got a 2-day return policy. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what his parameters would be.
Because he said, "I just want to be strong as 10 men." So he could, mm-hmm. I guess he wanted to fight the other kingdom. So maybe like he'd have to fix the tapestry. They had to fix that stone that was split.
Yeah, there's always something that's physically split. You just have to put it back together.
Yeah, you got to put it back together. You got to get some mortar and like put it in there.
So Merida does fix the tapestry in record time. She puts it together kind of shoddily. And now this is where my question is. Yeah, on horseback, that's true. While juggling 3 bear children.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. she wraps it on the bear, but the bear doesn't change. But then Merida is like, I'm so sorry, it's all my fault, I love you, mom, blah blah blah. And so I don't know if it really was the tapestry or if it was her finally admitting fault, I guess.
Yeah, because the whole time she's like, it's not my fault, I didn't do this.
Yeah, no, she's deflecting real hard.
Yeah.
So I guess it was all a metaphor.
It also, the second the sun hit her, like, I don't think she had a wrapper in it. Like, I think it's just the tapestry's fixed, and then once the sun comes out, like, that's just the end, period. So it's either you're bear or you're human.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if she was wrapping her because she knew that she'd be naked afterwards. I don't think she had that kind of forethought.
Although she was wrapped up, but then they kept treating her like she was naked still, which was strange.
Yeah, she was fully clothed for all intents and purposes. They're like, quit looking at her, you creeps.
Yeah, and she's like wrapped in a tapestry. I don't know.
And then
yeah, because all the other Scottish men are like,
yeah, they're getting real hard. Calm down, guys. Keep it in your kilts.
Yeah.
Well, then the other question I have, because the three boys ate the cake and they turned into bears, but there was no rift between Merida and the boys, so why did they change back?
Maybe they're gonna change back anyway. It was just like at the end of the period, or maybe like it was like a sub clause. Like, well, you gotta fix the mom, and then the kids will come back too. Like,
yeah. Maybe it was just the witch setting them up. It was going to turn back either way. I wonder.
I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't have cared either way. They seem pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's happy at the end. No one's a bear anymore. None of the kids have to get married. And make your own fate. Oh. Whatever, whatever. Bing, bang, boom. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, and that was really it. The only other thing I wanted to mention, you kind of touched on it with the, you know, the great accents, but the other thing that were great were some of the words that they sprinkled throughout. I wrote down all my favorites here, so if you indulge me for a second.
Please.
I don't remember the context of any of these, so don't ask me. But at one point, there it said, girdled collywobbles, simpering jackanapes, kerfuffle, which is, you know, a common word, but still fun.
It's a good word.
Someone's called a scaffy and a gammy. Goggly is another one. Homunculus, which I don't know where that came from.
Homunculus is like...
Is that a real word?
It is. It's like a...
Is that a queen bear?
No, it's like a... I'm going to look it up. It's like a humanoid thing.
Ah, okay. That sounds right.
The opposite. It's a very small human or humanoid creature. I guess it's a insult.
Yeah, I can't. I think maybe they talk about the dingwalls because they're very homunculus. Probably pronouncing it wrong. At one point, I think it's Merida says this phrase, "Jings Crevin, help my Boab."
This also sounds like UK like gibberish.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is basically. A couple more here. Someone says jiggery pokery. Someone else says tumshi. And the last one, well, this is a normal word I say though. Galoots, which is a solid word.
Never said galoots. What is the galoots? Context of that?
I do remember that context. The king, as they're chasing the queen bear, he's like, come on, you galoots. He's referring to the other dudes. It's just like big oafs, I think, or something.
Galoots.
But right before watching this movie, I read about a weird language that people in Northern California made up called Boontling. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's like a very small town made up this language called Buntling, basically so they could just gossip about other people without them knowing. It's a nearly extinct language. Only fewer than 100 people are still speaking it. Most of them are like the old people in the retirement homes. But here's some of the words that they're using. Backdated chuck is a person who's ignorant or behind the times. Bilch. Okay. Bilch is sexual intercourse. Or bilch.
I don't like that word.
Bat is to masturbate, and a batter is a bachelor or a masturbator.
Yeah, it's weird that those are the same, but okay. Wait, how do you spell this language? Like, what's the name?
It's from Boonville, Northern California, Boon, and it's Boontling, Boontling, Boontling. Blucher. Blucher is a bullshitter or also a masturbator.
I guess we know what they're talking about a lot.
Yeah, you kind of you get the gist. A lot of it's very sexually geared. Burlapping, I mean, having sexual intercourse.
I guess it's what gossip is, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's specifically to gossip about people, so it's going to be very focused on the dirtier stuff. There's a lot of words in there, though, so feel free to look those up. Those are fun.
Oh, here's one. Crazy is crazy, which I feel like didn't hide that one very well.
Yeah, you could probably pick that up if you heard someone saying that. But yeah, that's fun. I got to become fluent in that language. And another fun fact that proves my lack of knowledge of Scottish tradition, Pixar created 3 original tartan patterns for each of the clans. So I guess those patterns have meaning to them, and they're kind of like the flag of the clans. Were you aware of this?
I was.
Before reading the Wikipedia?
I mean, I didn't know they made them specifically, but I knew that tartans were, like, what's the word?
I don't know.
They're particular to a certain clan.
Oh, okay.
They're proprietary, that's what I was going to say.
Proprietary, there you go. Yeah, so they officially registered 3 tartan patterns for the Dingwalls, MacGuffins, and Dunbrocks, which I guess was Merida's clan.
I mean, that's probably the most respectful thing they do instead of, like, stealing one.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that they went to that length, because, I mean, majority of the audience, Americans, would not notice that at all.
No. And whoever's clan those were would be like, why'd you make us look so stupid?
Yeah, that's true. I guess all of those clans are really stupid, so that would have been really offensive if someone caught wind of that. Apparently, it's not the first time, though, Disney has registered a pattern, as they did one for Clan McDuck in the 40s, which, as you know, is Scrooge McDuck's family.
Aye. Is that's pretty awesome. I gotta look that up. I want to get a kilt in the McDuck.
Yeah.
Pattern.
Yeah, I want to look it up. Because, yeah, the colors, there's meaning behind the colors. This one's using orange and green for Clan McDuck, because I guess ducks are orange and green. Or not green, yellow.
Orange and green. I guess some mallards, maybe. I don't know.
That's true. There's colorful ducks out there.
Yeah, like a loon.
Loons, yeah, loons. Very colorful. Well... I mean, that's really all I had for this. Like I said, I kind of liked it overall. I honestly really appreciate the focus being on the female protagonist and her mother. It's not really a relationship that gets explored too much in movies, I don't think.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
Yeah, it's a little different. It really is, because Merida is now an official Disney princess. I don't know if you're aware of that. Whatever the fuck that means.
I didn't know that. Didn't they make a ride at Disney World? I think they did.
Probably. But she's like the only Disney princess without, where her movie doesn't really have a big song number, which is a key to any Disney princess movie. And she doesn't have a love interest either.
Yeah. She says herself.
It's just herself. She's an independent woman. I like that.
Is she the first?
Yeah.
So she's not the first ginger one.
Oh, yeah. Ariel.
Oh, yeah.
She counts. Well,
what do you call it? Ginger. It's like blood red.
She's also a mermaid, a fish person, so I don't know if that counts. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't know what fish breeds are, but you know, I guess maybe it counts.
Type of red fish. Yeah, so I like that. Strong female character leads. You always appreciate those.
Do you want to talk about Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah. I was wondering where you were going, but yeah. So yeah. That's the other thing that's interesting about Brave is that it's very clearly a Disney princess movie, but it was done by Pixar. But a lot of people have some weird hang-up with that. And in the same year, Disney released Wreck-It Ralph, which is very much the typical Pixar movie in that it's, you know, focused on, you know, childish, toyish world and, like, the characters that inhabit it, this time being, you know, video game characters. So I couldn't really find a good reason why there was this apparent switch. Some people think it's because Disney was, you know, not doing too hot lately, so they kind of wanted to steal one of the good ideas from Pixar, and I don't know, maybe see how Pixar could handle one of their princess movies.
Or maybe it's darker and it's a statement about how Disney won't accept a princess without a man.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's true, possibly. If you want to get real cynical about it.
Walt Disney's rolling in his cryogenic tube.
In his cryogenic tube with all his Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah. He's like, God damn it. You made how many tartans?
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of appreciate that it's like this is Pixar's take on a Disney princess movie, and it's honestly probably one of the better ones that they've ever done. So just shows Pixar still got it even after fucking Cars 2.
Yeah, even after Rock Bottom.
So I think next time we should do Wreck-It Ralph, because it's basically a Pixar movie, and as you mentioned, you've never seen it before.
I haven't, and I love video games.
And you love video games. I'm surprised you haven't seen it then. I was pretty jazzed for it when it came out.
It like snuck under the radar. I don't know what happened.
Because it wasn't Pixar, probably.
I guess, yeah.
So we can come back and do that one next time, because we don't really know what we're doing with the shorts.
Yeah, we gotta work that out. But yeah, we could do it in lieu of shorts.
Yeah, I think that's a good solution there to a problem we created ourselves.
Alright, well, I think that's about all for Brave.
I think that's about all. We did it all. Proud of us. So now,
well, from our family to yours.
Yeah, from our loving family to your bear family. Bid you adieu.
Good night.
Bye.
B to the O, to the B, to the B, to the Y, to the D, to the I.